It's Monday, June 1st, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. I'm still preparing for the Aspen Legal Seminar taking place this weekend, June 4th, 5th, and 6th in beautiful Aspen, Colorado, and that requires a lot of my attention, so we are still broadcasting some best-of shows like we did last week. This week, we're going to focus on the best of the Normal Daily Audio Stash interviews. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you'll hear interviews from Tommy Chong, Rick Steves, and Representative Barney Frank coming up in our best of segments for the first 3 days of the week. Then Thursday, I'll be coming to you from Aspen, Colorado with reports from the Aspen Legal Seminar. New podcasts resume on June 8th, 2009, and you can always catch the latest posts at stash.normal.org. So we'll talk to you next time from Colorado. Until then, it's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Last year in May, we reported on a bust at Spectrum Labs that was run by Mary Beth Buchanan, the U.S. attorney out there in Pennsylvania. Mary Beth was famous, of course, for being behind the charging of Tommy Chong, Normal Advisory Board member and famous comedian half of Cheech and Chong, for selling bongs over the internet. Well, this story back in last May of 2008 features Tommy Chong's problems with his DVD, a.k.a. Tommy Chong, multiple copies of which were stored at Spectrum Labs and seized by Mary Beth Buchanan. We talked to Tommy last May in this two-part interview. Okay, so we're very, very pleased to be sitting here and talking with Tommy Chong, of course, the famous half of Cheech and Chong. And we've got a breaking story that just took place out of Cincinnati, Ohio, and we brought Tommy here to talk a little bit about it. So, Tommy, welcome to the Daily Audio Stash.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Well, the situation here is the bust of Spectrum Labs. Spectrum Labs, of course, is one of these companies that makes drug testing and detoxification products like the Wizinator and other sorts of things like that. But how does this bust fit in with you?
Well, what they did when the feds came in to Spectrum Labs, you know, the SWAT teams, you know, they held the 5 middle-aged ladies that worked there hostage for hours. In fact, one soiled her pants while they were waiting. They wouldn't let her go to the bathroom.
Oh, geez.
And then then the only thing they took, or at least as far as I know, they took were the DVDs that Spectrum Labs were holding, the A.K.A. Tommy Chong documentary.
Now, this documentary, A.K.A. Tommy Chong, and of course people can get a copy of it at the website, akatommychong.com. This chronicles your case with Operation Pipe Dreams, right?
Yeah. It was the story of the whole Operation Pipe Dreams bust, you know, before I went in jail, during the time in jail, and then after.
So this bust was, you know, taking place from the Western District of Pennsylvania, and a certain prosecutor named Mary Beth Buchanan. And how did they manage to bust you for this situation?
Well, you mean the original bust?
Yeah.
Well, what it was, it wasn't. It was my son's company. My son Paris had a glass company, and they were shipping bongs, you know, to different areas across America, and we're paying our taxes, and you know, it was totally legitimate, you know, and there's a law that a little known law that Joseph Biden, by the way, put in. It was a paraphernalia law that made it illegal to ship any kind of paraphernalia, drug paraphernalia, across the state line. And so they used that law to take down my son's company. And the way they did it, they had to do an undercover head shop in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. And then we wouldn't send it to them, you know, because we knew better. But they persisted, and then I think they put an undercover agent into our shop, and then they finally had the shipment. And the feds told me later it was just in time, you know, they're running out of time. They spent $12 million entrapping us to send a bong to Pennsylvania. And so the film, A.K.A. Tommy Chong, is about that bust. And the prosecutor was a lady named Mary Beth Buchanan. And she headed the task force, you know, and she prosecuted me personally when I went to... first of all, I pled guilty, and then they sentenced me on 9/11, 03. You know, little message there. And then they had the trial or the sentencing in a big courtroom. So, you know, they were expecting a lot of protesters, but only one guy showed up with a little cardboard free marijuana sign. And that was it. So I went to jail for 9 months, but we filmed it all. And then she had the judge stipulate that I cannot profit from my crime. In other words, I would not be able to make a film or do anything like that about the crime. But, you know, my friend Josh Gilbert made it. And so him and Matt Stevens, they were distributing it. And then the cops just recently, 2 days ago, raided the Spectrum Labs and confiscated the film.
Now, Josh Gilbert is the director of the film, and Matt Stevens is the owner of Spectrum Labs out there. And I got some emails from them talking about the bust and how everyone was quite shocked. So is there any indication from the federal authorities here as to the reasoning behind the bust? Was it specifically to get the DVDs, or are they trying to cloak this in the whole, you know, busting him for the Wizenators?
Well, there again, you know, Matt Stevens has been operating openly for many, many years, since the 90s, you know, and so he's been in daily contact with the local authorities, and so he was totally in compliance with the law. I think it was just a cheap way for the government, namely Mary Beth Buchanan, to try to hurt us financially, you know. Have to have Matt answer, you know, whatever indictment they hand down. But it was just a very thinly disguised attempt to stop us from, or at least to hinder us, selling the DVDs, you know, the way she, you know, the way they confiscated the stock. This is what they're doing, by the way, to the medical marijuana people around the country. The feds are coming in and they're raiding the place like bandits. And they take the people's product and the money, whatever cash they can get, and whatever else they can lay their hands on, and then they leave. And then they don't really prosecute. They just say it's an ongoing investigation. Mm-hmm. And they got that little loophole in their investigation thing, you know, where they can take anything and seal it, and then seal indictment, and then they don't have to tell you anything or give you any reason, and it can go on forever, and then they can quietly drop it if they feel that there's not enough evidence, and you're out all that money. So that's what's going on.
Right. I was speaking to a medical marijuana attorney in Seattle, Washington, just yesterday, Douglas Hyatt. He was the man who defended that patient up in Washington who died waiting for a liver transplant. They wouldn't give him a liver because he was on medical marijuana. And one of his statements that he says among criminal defense attorneys is that the process is the punishment. The getting you in the criminal justice system, even if you're found innocent, just taking your time and taking your money to go through all these court cases, that is the punishment.
Oh yeah, and that's the total abuse of the system.
Yeah, now this Mary Beth Buchanan, this prosecutor, this U.S. attorney, so she was behind the Operation Pipe Dreams, and she was behind the Spectrum Labs bust, right?
Yes.
So does she figure prominently in the movie, a.k.a. Tommy Chong?
Yes, she does. She does. There's a very she gets the biggest laugh in the movie.
Oh, wow. So politically motivated, to say the least, you would think here.
Oh, totally. Totally. Well, not so much politically, but personally motivated.
Hmm.
You know, because she doesn't have a career. You know, as soon as Bush is gone, I'm quite sure she'll be facing criminal indictments herself.
Well,
you know, because she was the one that was in those lawyers being fired for no reason.
Yeah. Well, we definitely can hope for that. And
oh,
we'll...
yeah. There's a lot of, the chickens are coming home to roost, as they say.
Yeah, and this is just one of many documentaries that are out recently. American Drug War is another one that just came out, and it seems like more and more people are getting the truth about the drug war in general and about marijuana in particular. And the government now looks like that they're just, you know, reduced to some desperate, you know, last measures to try to enforce their own propaganda.
Well, yeah, exactly. To me, it's like the thrashing of the dinosaur tails as they sink into the stink hole, you know. they're going to be extinct, and this is what happens. And see, whenever they do that, like for instance, the documentary, you know, the documentary was doing okay, but now it's going to go through the roof, you know, for sales, because people, this is the documentary that the government doesn't want you to see.
Well, I guess it's kind of apropos, you know, when you take a look at the way the government has persecuted this war on drugs, where we've got, you know, triple the heroin and double the cocaine on our streets. You know, they try to prohibit something. It just makes people want more of it.
Yeah. That's the way it works.
All right. Now, just looking to some more happy news here in the land of Tommy Chong, what is going on for you career-wise right now? I know you're out performing your stand-up. Are there any movies coming up in the future or more television appearances?
Well, we're just clipping along, you know, doing we got a lot of gigs, you know, doing stand-up. I've been working on I'm the voice and the main character of a comic strip called Master Kush. K-U-S-H.
Okay.
And you can go on masterkush.com and check it out.
And one...
we're right now in the process of working on a feature film deal with the animated character.
Well, that sounds good. And of course...
Master Kush and Sister Sativa.
Okay, very good, very good. Yeah. And one of the questions that always has to get asked here, and it's been a long-standing rumor, as to whether or not there'd be any future reunions of the Cheech and Chong comedy team, perhaps in a movie.
Well, we're talking again. That's one good thing. We had a 420 reunion at a movie house when they screened Up in Smoke.
Oh, good.
And Cheech was there, and he was very cordial to me, and you know, he's nice. He's not swearing at me anymore.
That's a positive step, I suppose.
Yeah, that's a positive step. You know, it looks good. I'm not going to make any announcements until you know it's actually happening. But it's in the works for sure.
Well, I would think, you know, with the recent success of so many marijuana themed movies, the Harold and Kumar series, for example. I mean, the public would be just aching for that. I'm sure you guys would make a mint if there was a new Tommy Chong and Cheech movie.
Yeah, I have no doubt whatsoever. You know, that we would be doing very well.
All right. And, you know, looking back to your time in prison. You know, we're talking about this Operation Pipe Dreams. You spent 9 months in a federal correctional facility. What were some of the lessons that you took out of that, you know, being within the system like that?
Well, it was a life-changing event for me. You know, first of all, I had to get reach into my spiritual bag, you know, that I'd always had with me, but I never really went there. You know, when you're a successful movie actor, you're kind of busy with the fame and the fortune. But it slowed me down enough to make me realize, you know, what's really important in life. And then I utilized the time to read a lot, and then I also wrote a book, you know, The I Ching. I wrote that in prison. And even the documentary, a.k.a., there's a film clip of me or a news clip of me talking about, you know, jail. And I said, well, you know, who's to say that jail's a bad thing? You know, you go to jail, you write a great book, you know. That's exactly what I did. And I was talking about that back in the 70s. So the prison thing really was, I would say without a doubt, without hesitation, that it was the single most important thing that's happened to me, to my life.
I imagine that being Tommy Chong in a prison might be a little bit of a different experience than just your average Joe Schmo in prison, though. The prisoners treat you good?
It was thrilling. You know, there were other celebrities in there, but they didn't want to be known. You know, they were in there for, you know, different offenses that they didn't want, you know, a lot of sports figures and so on, you know, that were in there. But they're hiding it, you know. They just went on vacation for a while. But I was a high profile, and so I had a lot of fans. I had the guards, you know. Guards were under orders not to associate with me or to take pictures with me, or to treat me any different, but they did. And I really made a lot of friends. I made a lot of lasting, you know, lifetime friendship. And it was a positive, great, I enjoyed it. I'll tell you the truth, I had one bad half hour when I first went in there, you know, when I went to bed that night. You know, I went from a big, nice home in the Palisades to a little jail bed, little cot. And that was the worst half hour. It was just a half hour. It lasted a half hour, and then the spirit came into me, and I've been fine ever since.
Was there anyone there that gave you any sort of trouble? Was there any Sergeant Stadenkos in the crowd?
There was one. He was Cambodian guard. In fact, I forget his name now. It's funny. But he was kind of mean. He was a pervert, you know, and he had hit on my wife and all the women, you know. He was kind of a sleaze bag, you know. And you get an idea what it would have been like if you're in jail over there, you know.
Yeah.
And so he was the only guy. All the rest, no problem.
Wow. So just to wrap things up here just a little bit, again, we're speaking with Tommy Chong, of course, and just looking at the overall philosophy here of our federal government, we've been, you know, 37 years into this war on drugs, and regardless of whether we have Republicans or Democrats in office, we continue to see the escalation. I always point out to people that, you know, Bill Clinton locked up more potheads than any other president. And what do you see as the end game here? Do you feel optimistic about our chances to end this drug war or have some positive reforms, at least within my lifetime?
Well, you got to remember, you're up against greedy capitalists. You know, you're up against imperialists. You know, people, in fact, they make King Midas. They're the King Midas of the world, you know, where everything they touch turns to gold. And the only trouble is, when they touch food, it turns to gold. When they touch your kids, everything turns to gold. In other words, they're destroying themselves. And the truth is that we're in a society of yin and yang, you know, conflict. You need, like, every good drama needs conflict. And so the saving grace of all this is the Constitution was written by potheads, people that were stoned on pot. They wrote it on pot, and it is upheld. It's survived. All everybody, it survived Nixon, it's surviving George Bush, and it's going to turn and bite George Bush on the butt. So what we're doing is we're shaking our Constitution. it's a tree, and we're shaking it and shaking it and shaking it, and it just withstands and is stronger than anything that that you can throw at it, you know. And so the greed factor will eventually give way to the common sense factor. And so the drug laws, and what the drug laws have done, by the way, you know, the potheads are in prison. They're the ones that are writing books. They're the ones that are making the prisons work well. And they're going on with their life. They're like Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela did 27 years in prison, came out to be the premier, the leader of South Africa. That's what's going to happen to America. You know, there's some brilliant potheads that are being locked up that are going to come out, and they have. And by the way, if it wasn't for pot, we wouldn't have computers.
How's that work out?
It's all good. It's all good, and all the bad is temporary, and that's what I learned in prison, and that's what people have to, you know, keep in their heart, is that this Constitution, America, is stronger than the evil bastards that are trying to bring it down.
Wow, that's a beautiful sentiment, and I think we should go out on that one. And Tommy Chong, thanks for joining us on the Daily Audio Stash. What is the one thing that our listeners can do to help you out at this point with this whole Spectrum Labs bust and the AKA Tommy Chong movie?
What they can do is get on akatommychong.com and purchase the DVD, AKA Tommy Chong, and then have their friends do the same thing. And if everybody buys a copy, then we'll be like Barack Obama. You know, we'll be able to get a little contribution from everybody that listens, and then we'll use that money to make other product eventually make pot not only legal, but eventually it'll be mandatory.
Well, we can hope so. Tommy Chong, thank you so much for joining us on the Daily Audio Stash.
Of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers. And nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards.
Set phone. smoking green and smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. It's grass and it's good and it is your friend. Just make sure you take out them seeds and stems. Come on. So you're worried they might check your piss. I say quit that fucking job and hit this. Come on. Cause your dog got hit by a pickup truck and you got your girlfriend knocked up. You better look at the clock cause it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green. And smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. It's just, when I get high, I feel so awesome. Somebody order a pizza now, come on. Somebody order a pizza now, come on. Somebody order a pizza now, come on. Somebody order a pizza and smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed.
Smoke that weed.
Smoke that weed. Motherfucker.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre, our deputy director is Paul Armentano, our webmaster is Brian Judy, and web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org, and you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent.